just use this one. Is that a better? I think it's. All right. Can you hear me? Hello, hello. Can you hear me? You okay? Not well. Just want me to use this one. I can. That work better? Yeah. Let's just turn this one off. I would say it was because of my metal plate in my head, but. All right. Can you hear me now? All right. Wonderful. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Brent. I do serve in Africa. I've been there about 12 years. And so what a privilege and an honor and a blessing it is to come back. This is our first time that we've been overseas and returned to the same house. And I think it's because of you guys have made it so much feel like home. And so we're so thankful for the Mission House and for the way that you guys have loved us and supported us. It truly is a joy to come back and see you guys and to see this church. And so we are so thankful for your love and your kindness, for the house, and so much more. I was speaking at a church in California via online this last Wednesday, and a friend of mine introduced me. He said something, and I said, I'm going to have to steal that because I really like that. He said, I'm Baptist because of my theology. I said, oh, that's a pretty good thing. I agree with that. He said, I'm Southern Baptist because of the cooperative program and Lottie Moon. And as somebody that is beneficial of that, I have to say so much thank you. We're supported through our mission by 47,000 different churches, small, big, mega, around America. What a blessing it is to come and say thank you. We're not here to raise funds or to get more money. We're here just to say thank you for your prayers, your love, and your support. And it really allows us to be free to do the things that we're called to do, and that's to preach the gospel to where we have been called. And so thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to speak today. If you don't know Pastor and his wife, what a blessing they are to me and my family. He's a man of the Lord, and he preaches from the Bible. And so what a blessing it is to sit underneath of him. We come sometimes from difficult situations, and to come and hear the gospel just presented in such a great way to learn from Pastor Mooney, it really is a blessing for me. So me and my family, I have my wife here, if she can raise her hand. We've been married actually yesterday, 17 years. So we celebrated yesterday. So it was a great day, 17 years. And then my daughter, Taylor, is 14. And then my son, Braden, is 11. And then I have a 3-year-old, almost 4-year-old upstairs right now as well. So that's our family. We've been serving in Africa. We live in Botswana. If you don't know where it is, don't worry. We didn't know where it was until we went over there. But if you know South Africa, we're the country right above it. And so when we were getting called into the mission field, we told God we would go anywhere that there was a beach. We're beach people. We love the beach. And God has a sense of humor. So he called us to a landlocked country full of sand and very little water. And so we've been there for the last 13 years now, going on 13 years, and so we are so thankful. And so that's just where we're at. I work as a church planter, and then I also help run a fully accredited seminary. My wife works with kids and so much else, and so that's just where we've been. That's where we've been called for such a time as this. And so if you have any questions, feel free to pop by or ask us. We love talking about kind of our ministry and what we do and how you can get involved. We would love to see you all over there one day after COVID ends, and but you're welcome anytime. But if you have your Bibles, we are going to preach today. Let's look together in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now, this is a story we all know. This is Daniel in the lion's den. But living in Africa, I figured I would give you kind of my African perspective on this, which might be a little bit different after living in Africa and seeing some of the animals that we see. Botswana is about the size of Texas or France, and so it's a huge piece of land, and we have one of the best wildlife viewing in the world. There's only 2.5 million people in all of Botswana, so we have plenty of room for animals. And animals are very wild over there. And so when I was actually preaching this for another friend this year already, and I said, this is a great story because it really shares a little bit about where we're from, but gives you a different perspective on the book of Daniel. And so we know what's happening, right? And so let's just look together. So Daniel chapter 1. And so what we see is we see a new king over the kingdom, right? And so the old king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell. And so the Persians, they come in, and he takes over the entire land. And so as just like any king would do, he has to then appoint rulers to help govern the people, right? So he appoints 120 different people to help run his new government. And Daniel was one of them. Sometimes we forget that Daniel, he came as a young man, as a slave, right? Daniel was a part of the first kingdom takeover. So the king Nebuchadnezzar came in, took over the land, and Daniel was a slave. And so here we have a slave that lasted, but also is doing pretty well, right? So he is appointed as one of the 120 to help rule this kingdom. Not only that, we see that Daniel, verse 3, was going to be in charge of the entire, all the other governors, if you would. Daniel 3, it says, Daniel had become distinguished above all the other high officials and seraphs because an excellent spirit was in him. The king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Remember, Daniel's a slave. Daniel never got to go see his mom or his dad or go back to the place that he loved again. And yet Daniel, because of his excellent spirit, was rose to the very top. Here's a slave that's going to be in charge, second in charge of a new king and a new kingdom, which is pretty amazing when you think about that. Verse 4, as you know, what happens when you rise to the top is people start to get jealous, right? So we see the jealousy bug start to hit, and people start talking about, you know what, this guy is a slave. This guy, we brought him. We should have just left him alone, and yet he's going to be in charge of all of us. We don't like that. And so they go and they we know the story, right? They go and they try to find fault in Daniel. Let's go find some dirt. Let's go find anything that we could throw against him and say, listen, this guy can't be the ruler because of X, Y, or Z, right? Let's find some dirt on this man. Let's do something that we can throw him under the bus as it was. And what did they find? End of verse 4. But they could find no ground or complaint or any fault because he was faithful. No error or fault was found in him. So Daniel was proven to be a faithful man. There was no error or fault found in him. So they tried. This would have been an audit, right, of his life. They would have gone back and asked his family and his friends, other slaves, other people that were around him, what can we say against this man? What can we do against this man? And yet they could find nothing against him. He was blameless, right? Excellent in spirit, faithful, no error or fault was found in him. Verse 5, then these men said, we did not find any ground or complaint against David unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Isn't that an interesting little statement there? The only thing that they could find against this man is that he was connected to God, that he had a relationship that was so deep that they knew that if they set a trap, that they could get Daniel into this trap, right? Because he was connected. He had this deep connection with God. He was found faithful because his connection with God. We can look over at 1 Corinthians verse 4, 1 through 2, but we see Paul telling the church of Corinthians the exact same thing. Let me just read this to you, but it talks about being, as Christians, one of our callings in life is to be found faithful to God. Verse 4, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. This is how that one should regard us, and he's talking to believers here, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we're called first to be servants of Christ, right? And so we're giving our lives over to God so that we can serve Him. These guys, they said I worked hard. These guys worked so much harder. They were there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through the nights working to set up this room. That the grass is cut because of servants of God. That the church is cleaned because of servants of God. People are serving the church, and they're doing it not for glory. They're doing that because they want to serve God. And so we're told to be servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And that simply means that we are to share His love and His mercy to other people, right? It is a mystery to think that the perfect God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, looked down from His perfection and says, I want a relationship with me. Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not good enough, right? Nothing in my life that I have done is anywhere close to being even allowed to look upon His name or call upon His name. And it's a mystery to me every time I think about my salvation. It doesn't make any sense because I'm worthless. And yet He is worthy of everything, right? And that's what we're called to do, is that we're called to be servants and then to go share the love of Christ with other people, wherever that might be. Verse 2, moreover, is required that stewards, us, be found faithful. And so God tells us very simply, listen, our job in life is to serve God, to serve one another, right? Love God, love people. So we're taking care of our relationship with God, but we're also serving each other through Christ. We're sharing His name, and that we're told to be found faithful. And I love how we can tie this in with Daniel, because that's exactly what Daniel was doing. The only thing that they had against Daniel is he was connected to God. No error, no fault, because he was found faithful. Paul says the same thing, that we need to be found faithful. Church, there's two ways that we can get in the way of ourselves to be found faithful. And I think Daniel would have understood these. But number one is that we can overestimate the power of man. And so we give man too much glory, right? We're worried that if we go and share with our neighbor that he might never talk to us again, that he might call us a name, that he might do something that's going to make our life difficult. And we give man way too much power over our lives. We don't want to do anything that is going to ruffle somebody's feather, even though we can share the love and the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so Daniel, we're going to read about how he understands this. But number two is that we underestimate the power of God. And so Daniel was a man that he understood that man is here, but God is all the way up here, right? They're not even close. And so Daniel didn't underestimate the power of God. And so let's get back to Daniel, and here he was found faithful. We're told in Corinthians to be found faithful. Verses 6 through 9, and we know the story, right? And so these men, they come together. The only error and the fault that they found in him was that his connection to his Lord and Savior. And they say, okay, here's the deal. King, you're the new king, so we're going to make a law that if anybody prays or worships another god except for you, what's going to happen? We're going to throw you into the lion's den, right? Sounds pretty good, but it's only for 30 days, so it's only a 30-day junction. So this is a law that it's only 1 month long, and the law would end, and then people could start praying to whoever they wanted to pray to. And so the king, feeling glorious and feeling powerful, says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and sign this law into it. So he signs the law, not knowing that there was a trap being set. And so when I think of lions, you know, it is kind of a funny thing. So this is my Africa spin on it, is this is, we're talking about a den of lions. And so you weren't just thrown to a lion, you were thrown into a den of lions. And so lions, a lot of times with our American mindset, we watch Natural Geographic, right? And we see lions in a beautiful, majestic way. We watch or we show our kids the Lion King, and you know, you see the proud father holding up his son saying, look at my son, and all the animals coming and giving this son worship. You know, oh, look at this beautiful lion. But I have to tell you, lions are fearful. And people at this time would have known that a den of lions, this was something to be really scared about. And I love to tell this story. I drive a Hilux Toyota, and so it's very similar to like a Tundra. And when a full-grown male lion is standing next to your car, you don't look down upon the lion. You look straight at the lion. The lion literally is looking straight at you. And they say a lion's eyes, when you look into them, is like seeing the entire world. It really is a truly magnificent beast. And so I finally got my wife camping. My wife is more of a hotel camper than a camper camper, which is okay. I love her. But I love camping. And so Botswana, it's wild. It's open. There's no fences. There's no guys with guns. You're not even allowed to take a gun. And so animals, elephants, hippos, Cape Buffalo will just come straight through your campsite pretty regularly, which is pretty amazing. And unfortunately, that means lions can also come right through your campsite as well. And so this was a place that I've taken volunteers. If you don't want to go camping, we don't have to go camping. I've taken visitors. I've taken my children, even when they're much younger. And I love this park. It's a beautiful park, and you can see wonderful animals. And it's just one campsite might be as big as this auditorium. And that's kind of where you pitch your tents, and you sit there, and you go to the water hole to see the animals. And I finally get my wife out there, and the first time, I've never seen a lion at this park, not once. It's a huge park. And we've always seen evidence, but we've never seen the lions. And the first night, there was a male and female, and they had broken away from the other group, and they were making other lions, and they were in the water hole, and we could hear them roaring. And we were about 100 to 200 yards away from this water hole, and it was an awesome sight, truly spectacular. And the lions, we watched them during the daylight, and they went kind of far, and we could hear them. You can hear a lion for miles, and we heard where they laid down. And all night long, you could hear this lion just letting it go, roaring, roaring, roaring. Next morning, we wake up, and we don't hear the lions, we don't see the lions. And so it was actually Sunday night, and so the whole campground emptied. And so it was just me and my wife in this entire park. And so my four-wheel drive wasn't working 100%, so we stayed kind of close to the campground. And we go back to the lion, to the water hole, and we're just sitting there enjoying each other's company. I think we were reading a book at the time, and all of a sudden, the brother of the male, he comes out of the bushes. And this male was not as happy as his brother were. He was even a little bit more upset, and he comes to the water hole, and he is just letting, I mean, he full blast, as loud as you can imagine, this lion is just roaring, 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 roaring. Truly a spectacular sight. Me and my wife, we go back, and we're cooking dinner, and we realize when you hear a lion, you kind of can say, okay, I know where this lion is. But when you don't hear a lion, that's when you start to get a little bit nervous. And we had realized we hadn't heard this lion for a little bit of time. Probably about an hour had passed, and we were wondering where he went to. And with that, I kid you not, he let out a roar that the ground beside us just shook. Our tent, I mean, it was like he was standing right next to us. It was the scariest thing we have ever heard in our entire lives. With that, I don't know how my wife did it. She literally flew into the truck. She literally, her feet didn't touch the ground, and she was inside of the truck. Tears flowing down her face. Terrified. Now, I'm trying to be the strong, tough man, right, and saying, no, it's okay. Just stand by the fire. It's okay. The lion will pass by us. But my wife was not having any of that. She wasn't happy until I was inside of the truck with her. The next day, we were able to track. The lion rangers actually came and kind of laughed. Did you see the lions? Well, yes. And so we actually were able to track where this lion had been. And this lion had stood right on the edge of our campsite, quiet. And when he let out that roar, he was just letting us know that he knew that he could eat us if he wanted to, right? Like it was just one of the most incredible things that truly will never forget it. I felt bad for taking my wife there, but at the same time, we have gone back, but truly an amazing thing. You see, that's how we fear lions. Lions are to be feared because you don't know the outcome. They are truly spectacular beasts. And people in this kingdom, when they would have heard that if you pray to another god for only 30 days, most people would have said, yep, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with that. A den of lions is a terrifying thing to think about. And yet Daniel, what does he do? You see, Daniel didn't overestimate man or underestimate God. What does Daniel do? I love this verse in verse 10. It said, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, aka there was no hiding the fact that Daniel knew that this law was in place, right? Does he go and hide? Does he go and close his windows? No, what does he do? He went into his house, and he had his windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. As fearful as these lions would have been for everybody else, Daniel understood that he didn't fear these men that signed this law into place because he never underestimated his God. What an amazing thing it was. You see, Daniel, he had a life that was connected to God. I think that's why he was so connected, is because even when he was a young man, 13, 12 years old, he was brought. And he had to make a choice right then and there, right? Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God. This was about the foods. And remember the story, he had to go to the chief of the eunuchs, the head of the slaves, and say, listen, I can't eat this stuff because I'm going to sin against my God. And the eunuch said, listen, if this fails, it's your head and it's my head, right? And God proved himself faithful. Later, we see his best friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? We see them tossed into the fiery furnace. And what happens? We know the story, right? This is the stories we tell our kids. They come out unscathed. And so Daniel knew, listen, I can't fear man because I know the power of God. Why would I fear man when God has proven himself faithful over and over and over again? We see the handwriting on the wall. We see this slave growing and being lifted from his thing to a position of power. And the only way is that he was connected to God. And so when Daniel knew that there was this law into place, Daniel understood that God was still bigger and better than anything else, and so that he was going to follow him no matter what. Matthew 10:28 says, and do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body. And so Daniel knew this, right? God had proven himself faithful time and time and time again. And so Daniel was so connected to God that he did not change his course because he knew who his God truly was, right? And so we know the story, right? And so we'll continue on with the story, and they go to the king, and the king tries to get out of it. That's verses 11 through 13. The king tries to sign something different. Nothing works. And so the king was much distressed and had to follow his law, right? And so he agrees to throw Daniel in the lion's den, verse 16. And the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, and even this king knew that Daniel was different, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And so Daniel was put into these lions. It's amazing how Hollywood has picked up on this, right? When you're watching a movie and you get, there's a natural disaster, something hard is going to happen in your life, whatever it might be, right? It could be an alien invasion, it could be dinosaurs, it could be a natural disaster. Something bad is going to happen, and the main character always goes and says something like this, God, I know I've never talked to you before, but if you save me here, I promise I'll do X, Y, and Z for you for the rest of your lives, right? And so you see this. Hollywood has kind of picked up on this idea that we don't really need to serve God or know God, but just call out on him in our time of need. And yet Daniel was not like this. Daniel was so connected to God that even the person that was putting the punishment on him was hoping that the God that he served continually would save him and to be with him. And so we see what happens. And this is a call that we need to be doing, that we need to be so connected to God that when hardships comes, not if hardships comes, we live in a fallen world. Hardships come every single day. Sickness, disease, death, COVID, whatever it might be, they come on a daily basis to our lives. We live in this amazing time that we know that we're just here on this world for a passing time, and that we have an eternity with our Heavenly Father. And so when those hardships times comes, we need to be connected to know that, listen, we're going to put our faith in Christ no matter what, because he's proven himself over and over and over again. I think Daniel, he knew that, listen, why would I disobey God now? He's proven himself so many times before, and he'll do it again. Daniel didn't overestimate man and did not underestimate God. And so we see what happens, right? And so they put him in this den of lions, very, very scareful thing, tears flowing down my wife's face. And then we have a funny little verse in verse 18. I always like when the writers do this. And the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. So here, Daniel is in the lion's den, and the king is having a hard night sleeping, right? Pretty funny thing just to see that contrast, that the king was no food, no entertainment, nothing was brought to him, and yet Daniel was in the lion's den. And so verse 19, the king arose early, ran to them, and he cries out, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, we see that again, been able to deliver you from the lions? Verse 21, Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and before you. O king, I have done no harm. The king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in God. You see, Daniel was saved because he was connected to God. He was found faithful, and he was found faithful to his Lord and Savior. He understood that God and God alone had the power to save him from the lion's den. And I think that's what we need to take away today. And so I want to challenge you, church, as we see the very end of this. We see that these weren't full lions, right? There was no way that Daniel could have done this, because the bad guys, they get tossed in. And it says, before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke their bones to pieces. This is real lions, right? And so the only way that Daniel was saved is because of God. Verses 26 through 28, it reads, and this is after Daniel is saved and the bad people are taken away. I make a decree to all my royal dominion people to tremble and to fear the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. All his dominion shall not be to end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And he who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And then we see Daniel prospering during this reign of Darius. You see, when we read a story like this, it's good to just to put it into perspective, right? We're called as a church to be faithful in sharing the gospel, to be faithful in loving our Lord, to be so connected that when people look at you, the only dirt that they can find is that you're connected to your Lord and Savior. To not give man too much power, and to always understand that God is God. He is the King of the entire world, that he is above all of us, and that he can shut the mouths of the lions. I always like how the Old Testament always seems to look back. It always looks back on the history, right? And so it might be this king or this kingdom or this time or this time. And so many times, we as a church, we sometimes struggle to do that, right? We just see the next challenge instead of remembering all the times that God had been faithful in our lives, in my family's lives. The fact that I'm standing here today and presenting Christ to you and not being eaten by a lion, I can give praise and glory to that, right? I can give him praise for taking somebody that does not deserve or even deserve salvation in any aspect and saying, I am so thankful that I have a relationship with God, that he saved, he called me to be different. And so because of that, I'm not going to fear man, and I'm going to be a faithful man or faithful woman, and I'm going to serve him continually, to be found faithful in him, to share the love of Christ, whether it's on the back of a motorcycle, serving the church, whether it be in Africa, wherever God has called you to serve, we need to be that kind of men and women to serve him continually. And then we need to give God the praise. So I just want to say thank you again for allowing me to come here together today. My time is done. But I just want to challenge you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. That's something that I would challenge you to do today. God has loved us in a way that we can never comprehend, and we just want to give him praise and glory. You might say, you know, Pastor, I'm having a hard time living faithfully. I used to be connected to Christ, and I want to come back and be connected to him in that way. And you can do that as well. And you might say, this needs to be my church home where I need to come and make a membership of faith, and you can do that as well. And so thank you so much for allowing me to come today. Thank you, Pastor.